and call this meeting back to order for open session at 7:10 p.m. We will come up here.
Come on up, my dear.
Okay, I know your last name, but I don't have it.
Mia.
Okay. We will go ahead and start with the invocation led by Mr. Flowers and a flag salute led by Mia.
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord God, we come first and foremost just giving you praise and thank you, Lord God, just for who you are. Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, continue to let your goodness and mercy follow each and every one of us all the days of our lives, Lord God. Continue to let your will be done, not our will, but Lord, let thy will be done. And we be careful, Lord God, to give you all the glory and all the honor. In thy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mia.
Thank you, Mia.
Roll call, please. Here.
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 Present.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is a report of action taken in closed session. Let's see. The following action was taken in closed session on August 11, 2015, with the subsequent action being reported in open session as required by law. Moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Ms. Polis, the following student has completed his terms and conditions of expulsion and has been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. The vote on this item, the student is 189531, and the vote was 5-0. Okay. A public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:11 p.m. for the purpose of hearing public input on the development school fee justification study. Is there anyone who would like to address the board regarding the development school fee justification study? There being no further comment, the public hearing is hereby declared closed at 7:12 p.m. Okay, I do not have a report at this time. Mr. Flowers, do you have a report?
No.
Ms. Polis?
Nothing.
Mr. Medeiros? Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Okay, thank you. I want to say that I really appreciated Ms. Cheryl Lessiger's leadership at the Garden Gourmet meeting. It was a joint meeting between the Hurst Ranch Board and Kaiser Permanente and the district, and she did a great job. So I wanted to congratulate her for her leadership there. I'm also pleased to say that since that meeting, Foothill Transit has committed $500 to the Garden Gourmet program, so that is really, really good. We're hoping to grow that partnership with them, but at this point, $500. And I'd like to say that my daughter reported that the first day of school was amazing. So hats off to all the staff. As I did drive around the district after driving her home, and it was so exciting to see all the students coming into school. And I appreciate the leadership of having all the TOSAs there to support. That's the first time I've seen that, and I'm really, really pleased that our staff felt supported that day, and parents and students. So I want to congratulate the Education Department for doing that. That was it. Thank you.
Mr. Flowers?
Yes, I also like to reiterate that we had a great opening for the teachers on the 3rd. What a great time we had.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Superintendent Georgia speech. Jessica and Georgia speech, Madam President. And also, it was a pleasure. I was able to attend the Hurst Kaiser backpack giveaway with the superintendent and staff, some of the staff and some of the principals. What an awesome time that was. We also took a great photo. They had two handsome men in the picture, so what can I say? But the superintendent and I and the Colleen, she was Colleen, we see there and some of the principals, we had an awesome time. Did we get the backpacks yet? Have they?
Two of the three schools have been delivered.
Thank you, and I look forward to doing this every year. That's it.
I'm sorry. I want to congratulate the staff for an excellent welcome back. I did get to watch about an hour of John Antonetti, and he was really good. Your presentation, Dr. Hinman, was excellent. Very well done. Very entertaining. Absolutely love the alphabet soup that went off. You had the audience engaged. So So thank you. Very well done presentation on your first with our district. So first of many. And congratulations, staff. I know it was a lot of hard work to pull all the teachers together, and it was so well organized. So good job. And Dr. Coghlan, the school looked fabulous. Everybody loved the painting. Looked fabulous.
And I will add that...
Really quick, Daniel, just to touch on what Ms. Miranda Jimenez said, also thank you for air conditioning in a gym that actually had people complaining about being too
yes.
cold.
Yes, yes, that was good. That was good. First time yeah.
First
all.
Time ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Ms. Miranda, sorry.
I'll just add that I really appreciated the... Although his presentation was brief, it had a strong academic focus, which is what we really need the teachers to take back to their classrooms. That, you know, our priority is educating our young kids. So I think it's an art to know how long to speak before you lose your crowd. And I think the time he spent was just the perfect amount of time for the kid, for the students to appreciate. To appreciate what he said without losing, you know, the momentum and taking that momentum into their classroom. So really well done.
Okay, informal report, Dr. Hinman.
Thank you. We'll start with HR, Mr. Seaman.
I wanted to report to the board and the public that we've hired about 125 new employees.
Wow.
We didn't add 125 positions, so my replacements. I want that to be construed. And the city, as a lot of people know, has approved the SRO, the school resource officer. And the interviews for those candidates are scheduled for August 24th and to August 28th. And our two, Ronnie Maddox and Mark Trovatore, will be participating in the interview process with the police station.
Great.
Can I ask you a quick question? How many students, especially at the high schools, were we below projection, if I'm allowed to ask that?
Of course you're allowed to ask that. And we're vetting out the numbers. In fact, I was doing that with West Covina High School's numbers right now. It looks like we're probably just under projection there. I don't have an exact number for you, but I can get that to the board and do a board update report on enrollment probably next week after.
That would be great.
Thank you.
Dr. Coghlan.
Just want to report on some of the projects that have taken place around the district over the last 10 to 11 weeks. So I'll try to do this quickly. We painted Orangewood and Vine and Orangewood Vine Elementary School and Edgewood Middle and High School. We still have a little bit to go over there in that our staff is going to be painting the backstops and the dugout. We're going to be doing that. That wasn't part of the bid package. Fencing projects were completed at West Covina High School and Edgewood. We're still finishing up that tennis courts. We got a little delay from that rain, but once those courts get in, then we can finish that fencing. We did paving at Hollencrest, West Covina High School. We put in 5 portable classrooms at Orangewood Elementary School. We put the IB dance classroom in at Edgewood. Cortez is moving along. Phase one is just about done. It's scheduled over the Labor Day weekend. We're going to have those students move into the new classrooms, and then we'll start phase two. That project is about 60% complete, and construction of the district server room is just about done. We're right on schedule there, and all the work we've done over in the ERC. So it was a very busy summer. I want to commend Dave Larkin, Eric Calderon, Penny Reyes, and their staff for just a job well done. They really did a great job.
Ms. Hawkins.
Thank you. I, too, would like to comment on Kaiser tonight. We received over 300 backpacks for 3 of our elementary schools from the Kaiser Permanente Foundation, a really great cause and donating to our schools. And then the other piece I want to piggyback off of is what Dr. Coghlan started talking about, which is some of our summer projects. The major one is we have started working on the server room, as we had talked about with the IT assessment plan. But in addition, we are fully wireless at our 3 high schools as of last week, on a density model, meaning you can be in the quad, major quad areas, as well as in any classroom on the campus and have good access. And so all the Chromebook carts that we bought last year and all of the different devices that we have can be up and running and not in competition with each other. And so that first phase of that big technology audit that we did 2 years ago is really starting to work its way through. And so it was really exciting to see that done.
Wow. Okay. Dr. Coughlin, my eyes aren't very good. Are you missing an earpiece over there?
Yes.
Just checking to see if I was losing it a little
you
bit.
Have duct tape
on? I do. We'll catch up. A couple things really quick. I know that Mr. Seaman talked about SROs and mentioned the principal at Edgewood High School. So I wanted to clarify for the board once and for all, because we've been going round and round about Ronnie Louie, Veronica Louie Maddox, Ronnie Maddox Louie, and the end result is she would like to go by Ronnie Maddox. So Principal Maddox will be, for this point forward, that's how we will go. And I know it's caused a little consternation. As far as the enrollment figures go, we'll get you some more solid numbers. Really, 4 days into the game, you know, we're still counting the whites of their eyes. I do believe that starting as early as we did might have thrown off our numbers a little bit, measurable, especially in the kindergarten, first grade year. So those numbers they're still coming in. Each day I ask, you know, the elementary principals, are they still coming? And the answer is yes. And I know that student services is busy every day with people coming and going. So we'll have real solid numbers to give you by the time we get together again. I just want to talk briefly about the opening. The best way that I can describe it is obviously my first opening in West Covina. Pins and needles. Didn't sleep the night before. And I got here and I said, okay, I'm going to drive by Cameron and West Covina High School on my way in. And yes, in fact, there were cars going into the school. So I was good about that. And I really got to my office and I literally just kind of stared at my phone waiting for that call because, you know, we have to help, right? I mean, there's going to be issues, concerns. I'm going to get an upset parent. There's going to be a teacher, maybe a misplaced classroom. And lo and behold, next thing I knew, it was 4 o'clock and not one phone call came through my office. And, you know, cabinet as a whole, we were all kind of hunkered in the bunker waiting to help from the district perspective, and those calls never came. So I'll translate that into incredibly smooth opening. We can take very little credit. It's obviously done at the school site. The teachers, the principal, classified staff have done a tremendous job getting ready in a very short time frame, mm-hmm. But as you tour schools, and I encourage you to do that, you'll see that children are learning. It's in the middle of the summer, and we're up and running. So very, very proud of the work they've done, and I will forewarn the board that starting next board meeting, we're going to start our recognition cycle. So we have lots of groups to bring in to recognize with you and do a lot of celebrations, and that will start next week, next board meeting.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is items from the floor / public comment. I have one blue card, Greg De La Housay.
Okay, good evening, staff members, good evening, board members, and Superintendent Hinman. Is this on? Oh, it's on. I was very pleased to see the facelift that was going on in the community with the school right down the street from me, Orangewood, and also to Edgewood as well. One thing that I did see that did not transpire, I'm on the site council of Orangewood, and we discussed that the blacktop for the play area was going to go ahead and be repaved. Came on in, and it wasn't. It has been unpaved for quite some time. They patched it up, put some slurry down. Slurry falls through the cracks, and there's still some cracks. So there has been some accidents out there with the cracks, and also, too, the lines out there on the pavement are pretty much deteriorated and gone away. We're trying to promote some type of physical activity. I noticed that they have some type of Jack-O-Lane early morning program for all the kids to get out there on the blacktop, do some early morning calisthenics. That's one thing that I believe the U.S. has been fighting the obesity, so that's a positive thing right there. But the classrooms have been painted inside, so I know it brings a little enthusiasm to the kids to come in and see a new school, but going out to the playground, there's really nothing for them to do because there's no lines designated in any type of games. It doesn't take a lot of money because we're not talking about any type of equipment being placed out there. Some hopscotch lines. Four square lines, some don't cross the lines, some dodgeball circles. to go ahead and have placed out there. So it's not a lot where you're talking about equipment to be set in and in placed. And was a little disappointed to find out that the money was diverted to put in some extra parking spaces for the teacher further in the back to expand their parking area. My main concern is the kids. The kids should come first. The teachers can park out on the street. They're being compensated for coming to school, and they have a reason to teach. But if the kids weren't there, there is no reason for them to come. There is no reason for them to be teaching at all. So if we're going to kind of promote some type of physical activities, give them something to play on. I know there's wide open space with grass, but they don't have any type of athletic equipment to get out there at recess time or lunchtime to go out there and play on the grass other than run around like wild banshees and be supervised. But that's something that could be addressed. And from a risk management point, I went ahead and inspected the asphalt out there. There are several cracks, little small holes, but then there are three standing tetherball poles. One of them has actually broken off. There's a small lip of the existing pole still on the surface that's protruding roughly about a quarter inch, and it is pretty sharp. I didn't bring this to Ms. Shirley's attention because I figured, oh, she's going to have to make a memo, go through some red tape, submit it, and then somebody's going to have to come down out there with a work order and file it down. And I know the powers that you may have, you might actually walk out there or send somebody to go out there and inspect on your behalf. They'll go ahead and come back with their findings, and you can have that grinded off in a matter of minutes, and that will be resolved, because I would hate to see a kid trip and just actually hit that little pointed piece of steel on the ground outside over there. And one thing, too, as far as talking about obesity, I know working with the nutritional department, you guys made some changes as far as the diets that are being provided to the kids. It looks good all on paper, but one thing that you may want to check out firsthand, a lot of that stuff goes into the garbage. I'm speaking from a personal account. I've been there distributing the food to the kids, and they may crack the carton open, take a sip of the milk, or not open it at all, and throw it right back in the trash. The sliced vegetables, the sliced fruits, all that goes right back into the trash. I would say 65% of it, I've noticed, goes straight to the trash can. A small portion of it may get sampled and still thrown in the trash can. I asked the cafeteria manager, the stuff that's unopened, what do you do with it? She says, we're not able to take that back into the cafeteria. It goes into the trash and is disposed of. So the nutritional program is good, but it's not actually serving a purpose if the kids are not eating it. So they're getting some type of intake of food someplace else, or junk food that's in their backpack. Not certain, because all I did is pass it out. Go ahead and supervise the event of them eating, and when my time was over, gather up all the trash, all the food, throw it in the trash can, and that was basically it right there. Thank you for your time.
Okay. The next part of our agenda is the business session. The first item is agenda and consent items. There are no items that can be added. Are there any items that a board member would like removed?
14, please.
I have that too. Okay. Anything else? Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
I move.
That's that.
It has been moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Mr. Flowers to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of August 11, 2015, with the removal of number 14 from consent. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is item number 14, and that is the development school fee justification study. Ms. Miranda Jimenez, you asked for this to be taken off of consent?
Yes. I'm going to keep my study, by the way. I think you asked if we wanted to return it. I simply wanted to ask, I know that the staff's recommendation was to approve it, but being that we had a study and there is justification to increase the rates, I was curious as to why we chose not to. It wasn't in the packet as to why we weren't going to. So, are we in a reasonable amount of time from the study, like a year from now? Because our biggest weight in meat is right after the study.
Right. Let me answer your first question first, and then open up a little bit of dialogue about this item. This was brought by the business department doing its due diligence that it was time that we had gone full cycle and brought this before the board again. And I'll just be perfectly candid. The information that we got back from those who have the history here felt that the culture of the district was very clear in their mind that this was not something that they wanted to address, meaning the board. Not taking into account that, in fact, the board has changed. I think it was such a definitive, passionate position that the business division felt that we would just carry on. To be perfectly honest, I didn't think any different. I just thought, I don't have the history. They know we're going to make the recommendation. So what's printed is printed, but it's been made very clear in conversations that I've had, including with the board president, that it is an item that, in fact, the board would like to discuss and not just take for granted a position that happened several years ago. So we are prepared to discuss that as the rationale and the hows and the why. Dr. Coghlan has done his homework and can answer any questions you may have.
Okay. As the superintendent mentioned, I asked where the consent item came from, and I understand that I'm one of those who was very strongly against discussing this item, but I am glad that we went forward with the study. And the reason is, through the study, we found out that we are not charging three levels for the school facility fees as we should. So we have been assessing residential development and commercial development. Under residential, there is a differentiation between single family and multifamily. For those of us who are around the city, we can recognize that what's being built in our city is multifamily.
Exactly.
And so basically, the developers of these properties have been getting a break because they've only been paying $214 per square foot instead of $379 per square foot. And so I am going to propose that we do not raise the rate for the residential developments, which are usually, you know, people who come and live in our city. We add in the multifamily, and that way the developers who are making a lot of money in our city pay their fair share of the cost to modernize and update schools for the students that are brought in. And also, we are about 30 cents lower on commercial industrial fees. And so for the same reasons I want the multifamily attached development fee put in, I also want the commercial industrial fee. Right. So if you're going to make money in our city, we would like you to help pay for our schools and the students that it brings. So that is my thought. Anybody else have a comment?
Dr. Coghlan, have you put some numbers together for us?
I have put some numbers together, and I can talk about those numbers. If the board wishes to increase, and you can do that, there's a process that we have to go through, and that process would not be done tonight, but there's a process, and I can talk to that. The largest, as far as the numbers, last year was kind of an interesting year because of the project that went in over at the old the Wicks, mm-hmm. and because that would have been a multi-family. And we, in 13-14, we collected on residential fees $1,037,000, the largest portion of that being at Wicks. Had we been at the, and for us, the highest level we can go, it's $3.36 based on our multifamilies. Had that been in effect at the time that Wicks project came in, we would have received an extra $539,000. There's another project that is going in right now that is a single-family homes. So that one's at the $214, and if we were at $2.16, that would have brought in an extra $6,000. So really the most interesting about this study, interesting thing, was to find out that the district has not been charging that multifamily fee. Commercial and industrial, not a big change there between the 34 cents and the 54 cents. Just at this point in time, there's not a lot of commercial industrial development. In 2012-13, commercial you know, brought in $1,900, and had it been at the higher rate, it would have been $3,000. Still, a substantial amount of money. The big item is that residential piece. And if that is something that the board wants to entertain, then there's a process. We have the report tonight, justifies what we're charging, but we would then come back, we'd put an ad in the paper, run it for 10 days, have another public hearing, give people an opportunity to come and voice their approval or disapproval. Once the board takes action, then after 60 days, it would then take effect. So we would see if maybe there'd be a run on people wanting to get their projects in sooner. But that's the timeline. And it can be done at any time. But the maximum allowable amounts are $2.16 for residential, single family, 54 cents for commercial industrial, and $3.36 for multifamily.
Would there be a drawback to pursuing this on the side of the developers, or is there potential pulling back on projects or for this amount of money? I mean, is that something that's
money is money, and I mean that's the philosophy of taxes, and what does that do? So there may be something on that.
Any other comments, directions?
Should we then table this?
Yeah. Or we have to vote it down.
I think
probably better to table.
I think of table.
Well, my recommendation is we did run the ad in the paper for 10 days, and it did say in there that we did a fee study, and the recommendation at this time is to maintain. I'm going to defer. We do have the Delinka group here who did the study, and do you have a comment on that? Would you like to come up and is this something that we should pursue, approve this tonight and then come back, or do we just table this item? And would one of you like to come up? This is Andrew Bishop, Associate Director with the Delinka Group.
If we're going to come back another meeting, I recommend just tabling it and adopting the report or approving the report and the resolution all at once.
Okay.
To give the public time to review the report and come and voice their opinion on the fees.
Mm-hmm.
So you give the public the full share of time to move forward, and you're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes.
Sure. And again, the purpose of the first purpose of the study was to make sure that what we're charging is appropriate, and so we're fine there. So based on that recommendation, to table it and to bring it back and run the ad. Bring it back.
But we've already run the ad.
We would have to run it again because the ad says we were going to maintain the fee.
Okay.
And we want to now the approach is to increase the fee. So if we've run the ad at 10 days saying we're going to maintain the fee, it might not have drawn the attention that it would if a developer sees it.
So and it has to say possibly, because obviously we have to vote on it.
But this is not including the residential. Right.
We're
considering all three.
It's all three fees. There's the residential report and the commercial industrial. So the residential report examines both single family detached and the multifamily. So we would take all three fees at once.
And so does the board agree to table this? Or is there a board majority? Or do I have a motion to approve as is?
Oh, I will move to table it. And thank you for doing the study. Thank you all.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, so item 14 will be tabled.
And is there a way when this comes back to find out if there's any projects coming down the pipeline that it may affect? And then I think that
Portos?
Huh?
Portos?
Well, and that's commercial. I don't think that's going to do a lot. But
multifamily.
The multifamily, is it condos? Is it apartments?
Typically, the multifamily, it's condos, townhomes, duplexes, triplexes, apartments, anything of that nature. So.
And is commercial equivalent to retail, or those
retail,
two?
Office, hotel, motel, industrial. Hospitals, all that.
I certainly want people to move into our area because we love students in our district.
So, these
I don't want to discourage, I don't want to price people out of it. But when it's apartments, a lot of times that's the developer's money, and
this money
they're not planning on staying with
us. These rates are always levied against the developer. This isn't going to be against the residents, the people moving in. So
it
this
would
is
bring the cost of their homes
could,
up.
It could bring the cost of the homes up.
Yes, and that, I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I want.
And that's typically the argument you get from developers. Well, you know, we have to raise the price of the homes now, and we're going to get priced out. Or they say, you know, we have to go back and to our source of funding and, you know, get another loan or, you know, change our funding plan. So you do get some of that sometimes. And the best thing we can do right now is we can look at the, you know, contact the city, see what multifamily projects they have in the pipeline, and then see how they may be affected.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And again, we have to remember this money goes to our schools. So rather than saddle our community with, you know, 20, 30-year bonds, maybe the developers pay a little bit more up front.
You so get the new builders to kind of to pay their portion before you levy it on the existing homeowners.
Exactly. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Okay. Any further Board of Education discussion?
Yes.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Okay, thank you so much for telling me about the baseball fields. My question was, I've heard so many wonderful comments about the painting over at Edgewood. From students, the morale, and the parents, and the public, and, you know, Hearst Ranch keeps telling me how excited they are, and they had a big event on Sunday. I heard from people at the event on Sunday, so thank you. It's done a great for us. The only question, which I didn't even pay attention to, was the baseball fields, but you mentioned that. So they should be done within the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Because they're a different color.
Specifically, they should be done by the end of next week.
Okay. And I know it's been an incredibly busy time. So the post-secondary plan update for West Covina High and Edgewood and Coronado, what students are doing when they graduate, we haven't gotten that yet. And I know it's incredibly busy, so.
Short summer.
It's in its final stages.
I'm sorry?
It's in its final stages.
Oh, okay, good. And then,
good save.
Thank you. And then maybe at our next board meeting, or maybe even just an email, I am just on pins and needles. I want to hear how dual immersion ended up coming up. Just an update. Did we get all 20 kids, 10 and 10? And the IB expansion, you said you're going to talk to us about the increase in numbers. So I don't know. I'm dying to know. Did we increase in numbers a little bit? So just a general update with some of our new programs that we approved.
Yeah, it would to do it. Today. There's so much shifting still going on. If you'll bear with me till we really have the solid numbers, I can tell you it's that our new programs are up and running. Mm-hmm. So we were able to run all four sections of the dual immersion.
Good.
So and because it's kindergarten, we've left a little room because we know we're going to have particularly the EL kids come in that we want to be able to place in there. So, you know, they're sitting at about the 20 mark right now with so a little room in each class. Okay. But I'll give you more specific as we go.
Thank you.
Yep.
That was it.
Mr. Powers?
I just want to know, has anyone seen the dual immersion hanging in the mall yet? I haven't looked. But
yes.
Where is it?
It's in a storefront.
That's right.
I think it's on the second floor, but I can't remember. Okay. It might be next to the cookie place.
I've seen a picture of it, but I couldn't tell you where in the mall.
I walked by it, but all I can tell you is I was really impressed. And my husband said, how did you do that? That was all me. I go, I don't know, but doesn't it look great?
That's all here. Yeah. With some collaboration that the mall has done with the district. So
it looks really
good. Collaboration work.
I actually have an item. I got a phone call from California, which is where one of my nieces and one of my nephews goes, and they are trying something new for lunch, and I'm going to be interested in getting a report in a couple of months, and it touches a bit on what our public speaker touched on in terms of food waste. What they are going to be doing at Cameron is students will be released for lunch, have a certain amount of time to play, then they are sent to the cafeteria to eat lunch before they go back to their classrooms. And one of the reasons they're doing it is to see if that cuts down on waste of students rushing to get out to play rather than eating. And so I will be interested to see how,
report on that.
I mean, obviously I'll know how it's working in terms of two students, but how it works for the entire school.
But I think that even in the morning, it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, there isn't that rush to, because they're not allowed out into the play yard. And it would be nice if we could collect that unused food. And I mean, if we couldn't give it to students to give it to, donate it to a food bank. But I know they're saying we can't do any of that. But it is very sad to see all of that food in the trash can. I mean, if some of it's not even open.
Oh,
I mean,
I agree.
And because they have to take the two servings. It's like, and I would really like that looked at. Do they, I know I asked before, and they said, yes, they have to take so many. But somebody at CSBA said they didn't. But they might have been misinformed. But it would be really great if they didn't want it, they didn't have to take it.
A couple quick items. And I just really cut, and I wish Mr. Delahousse was still here. And
I actually have one more.
Oh, you do? I'm sorry.
I do. Yeah. Also at Cameron, they a lot of our schools have pick-up and drop-off issues. And so I don't know if the board is aware, but when you look at the school, the small parking lot that is between the school, mm-hmm. and there's a fence there that led down a walkway, they have turned that into a pick-up and drop-off. So you enter from the field area of the school and come through and turn out of the school. And so that has been...
I thought that was a fire lane.
Well, they did it somehow.
Is it working? Does it seem to be helping?
It does. Parents are having a little bit of growing pains, but it does seem to be working.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Yeah. I wanted to let you guys know about that one also. Okay.
My apologies. Just a couple clarifications, and I will have Dr. Coughlin call Mr. Delahousse. Say he made one statement which was false, and for the public purpose, I want to make sure of clarification. Funding was not diverted from the playground to teacher parking. That was part of the new portables that went in, had to take some of that parking out. It was later determined that with a little bit of architectural magic that they could actually rebuild that parking lot. It was a change order in addition to moving those portables. It had nothing to do with the actual playground itself. So that is was not on the summer master plan. However, I'll have Dr. Coughlin look at it and talk to Mr. Delahousse, personally walk the lot and see what kind of shape it's in. And by all means, if we need to make a recommendation, we'll come back to the board and do that. The other piece is, and it really just came out of my visit to Hearst Ranch last year, is really the nutrition is about education. And I know Dr. Coughlin's Nutrition Services is starting to develop lesson plans. We're talking like 5-minute curriculum for the early grades about nutrition and that how it's important to eat your vegetables and drink your milk and how it actually works in the body and actually turn it into a positive thing rather than something to throw into the trash can. So, you know, there's no silver bullet to this issue, but if we can get the kids to actually believe that it's fun and helpful and back to nature and green, then maybe we can turn that. So I want to commend Dr. Coughlin because we'll have that curriculum sometime in the near future.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Can you email it to all of us as well? Thank you.
Yes.
Because then I can print as many copies as I want.
Yes.
Thank you.
And just for the record, since we're not videotaped, Ms. Miranda Jimenez
is
thanking the district staff for the color copy of the district goals.
The district goals and the strategic plan on the backside. Thank you.
Okay. And then August 18, 2015 is the back-to-school night at California. Also on August 18th is the back-to-school night at Orangewood, August 19th, back-to-school night at Vine, August 20th, back-to-school night at Merced. Also on August 20th is the back-to-school night at Merlinda. August 25th is our next Board of Education meeting. August 26th is the next back-to-school night at Hollandcrest. August 27th is the back-to-school night at West Cove. The board... I'm sorry?
12th and
13th. I don't have that.
San Jose is...
Oh. August 12th and August 13th are the back-to-school nights at San Jose Charter Academy.
And the 18th is the Junior Academy back-to-school night.
And also on
wow.
Yeah,
August 18th is the back-to-school night at Orangewood. I already said that. And San Jose. Okay. There. We have all three of them. Okay. And with that, the board will go back to closed session beginning at 7:49.
Thank you. What time did you open the meeting, Jessica?